Sam Sherman has been in the motion picture industry for over 35 years, and for the past 30 years has served as the founder president of Independent International Pictures Corporation, IIP, who are producers, distributors of theatrical feature films of all kinds.
Now, Sam became involved in the UFO field quite by accident. In 1961, while writing for national magazines, he had a UFO sighting in New York City, which was seen by three other members of his family. He shot still photos and 16mm motion picture film of the illuminated disc that he saw in the sky over the city.
In 1992, Sam Sherman decided to look again at the UFO mystery for a long-term project, a feature film docudrama on the question, has Earth been visited by extraterrestrials, titled Beyond This Earth.
While researching the UFO subject at government agencies, Sam Sherman received 6 hours of audio tapes from the night of October the 7th, 1965, which were recorded at Edwards Air Force Base in California. The tapes concerned a UFO overflight of this secure installation and the military response of scrambling planes after the aerial objects.
The tapes were declassified in a chopped-up, intelligible form known as scrambled release.
Now, Sherman spent 8 months editing and interpreting the tapes with the aid of someone who was there that night at Edwards Air Force Base in the tower and who started the alert and is heard on these original tapes.
And from this material, Sam Sherman produced a critically received one-hour audio documentary, The Edwards Air Force Base Encounter. And when we come back,
joining us on the line will be Sam Sherman with some of these audio clips. Right here on Strange Days, indeed.
On News Talk Radio, CFRB
1010.
Strange Days,
indeed.
He's John Karras.
And he's Errol Bruce Knapp.
And joining us on the phone from his home in New York is a man I've been looking forward to talking to for, several weeks now, and hearing some of his clips, Sam Sherman, good evening.
Good evening, and thank you, Errol and John, for inviting me on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you here. This is pretty remarkable stuff that you've gotten a hold of. Tell us the story.
Well, I was working on this research for the film Beyond This Earth and going to all kinds of government agencies looking for materials, and when I did this, I just got everything I could lay my hands on or my researchers could get that the U.S. government had and I would be allowed to have. And that included 8,000 pages of paper documents on the UFO subject, still photographs, motion picture film, videotape, and audio tape.
Was this via the Freedom of Information Act?
Some was, and some was already declassified material that I didn't have to request. So in getting all these materials, I was least interested in the audio tapes because I was making a motion picture, emphasis on picture,
yeah, right. And
I wanted visual things. So I got to these 6 months down the line, and I started listening to them and all kinds of things in the tapes, but 6 hours were from Edwards Air Force Base on the night of October 7th, 1965, involving a UFO alert at the base. Now, when I listened to them, the conversations went nowhere. The conversation would begin, and someone would say, well, what about that? Click, buzz, noise. And somebody else would come on, and they'd start a different conversation. In the middle of it, we'd go to just hum, and then we'd get sections with noise overlaid over the whole thing, and it was impossible to make any sense out of it. Well, it had been these 6 hours declassified some years earlier, and some investigators had heard them and could make no sense out of them. And I felt, when I got to one point in the investigation, that I listened to one segment where somebody said, we're seeing UFOs, we're having a real invasion over here. It sounded interesting enough for me to send it back to a colonel in the Air Force at the Pentagon who I'd been working with. And I said, Colonel, what do you think of this? I sent him 15 minutes of this material. And his response was, this stuff must have fallen through the cracks. How'd you get it?
Oh, really?
The minute he said that, I knew I was on to a story, and I decided in my little studio at home where I do audio work to spend as much time as need be to put this stuff back in order. And I took a quarter-inch tape and edited it physically, splicing with razor blades and cutting and So I had it in chronology in a one-hour form with a beginning, a middle, and an end, with the conversations continuous, and I tightened it up so that it played like a dramatic program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I needed to know more, and I went to my friend George Filer, who's the Eastern Director of MUFON on the East Coast, and he was a former major in Air Force Intelligence, and he knows a lot about Air Force procedures. And I also went to retired Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Wendell Stevens, who gave me some clues on this. But George Filer got me our friend Chuck Sorrells, who was the tower operator at Edwards the night of this event, who's heard on all the recordings over and over again, got Chuck Sorrells involved, and I started talking to him, and he confirmed the whole event. I sent him my recordings of what I had in the edited version, and he listened to it, and he said he didn't even know it was recorded, and we went over what was happening, et cetera, et cetera. Then I realized that somebody to listen to these tapes, they needed to be set up ahead of time. We had to clean them up because they were noisy and signal process them in computer and set them up by having our narrator explain what you're going to hear, and yes, then it plays. And we had Chuck do a big opening for us where he explains, this is what happened on that night. The tapes are authentic. You hear me now. This is recorded in 1995. You'll hear the original tapes. I'm called Edwards Tower, and that's in 1965.
Uh-huh. These tapes were... what, they were 10-inch originally, and they rolled very quietly in the background at a silly speed like 6 or 1 7/8?
No, they weren't. They weren't tapes like that at all. They were made on an extra track of enormous rolls of radar tape, and the radar tapes were recorded in case of an accident. They were on all the time.
Uh-huh.
In case of an accident at Edwards Air Force Base in California, they could replay what went on the radar screen.
Okay. Let's hold it there. And we'll pick it up in just a couple of moments when we come back. We're talking with Sam Sherman, who's put together a really amazing audio documentary, which we'll hear some of a little later, right after the break, right here on Strange Days,
indeed,
on News Talk Radio, CFRB 1010. Strange Days,
indeed.
John Karas.
And over there, Errol Bruce Knapp.
And our guest tonight is producer Sam Sherman on the line from New York. Sam, this documentary that you put together, can you play us a clip of...
Absolutely. This all began approximately 12 or 12:30 the night of October 7th, 1965.
Right.
And the tower operator or air traffic controller, that's Chuck Sorrells, saw these objects coming over secure airspace, luminous objects flashing red and white and other colors, and they came down low over the runway. And when that happened, he called the Air Defense Command. Major Struble at the Western Air Defense Command then said, put the recording on, and we hear that also. And he then had this done. Now, what this meant is all voice transmissions in and out of Edwards Air Force Base went on to the extra track on those radar tapes that were playing all the time.
Okay.
I'm going to begin with a little montage of some of the sightings that were seen and how they reacted to it. So we'll just begin right now.
Okay.
So to the north of us, there was one coming pretty fast. He's seeing a phone and he's coming from north to south. North to south,
right.
North to south at this time from Edwards.
Right.
He's
blinking
red.
I have another red light and green light combination in sight moving very rapidly over to my field this time. I'm going to check on my RAP time to see if they have any movement here.
Hey, sir. Here's our last here. Say, have you all had any reports of unknown flying objects over there?
No, we haven't.
Okay, I was wondering. We supposedly are having quite an invasion over here.
What area?
No, it's over around Victorville and Edwards there.
I was wondering if any of your flights or any of your bunches over there have called anything in.
We're getting a little idea how this event began. I think that gives you a little feeling for it.
Yeah. Those voices we heard, of course, were in the various control towers from various...
Well, let me actually qualify what this all was.
Okay.
They recorded over a five-hour period from at least eight positions. So that indicated 40 hours of material at least was recorded. But what they declassified was this chopped-up version that made no sense, that was recorded, you know, to be used as a disinformation ploy, chopped up to minimize the event so it was not obvious what this was. And nobody expected some nut like me would spend 8 months putting this whole thing back together and cleaning it up.
Scrambled release, in fact.
Well, yeah, it was Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the lunar astronaut, who told me he was at Edwards that night, and when he heard the tape, I explained to him how they were all chopped up. He said, well, that was scrambled release. It was released, but meant to be obscure as to what the meaning was.
It's kind of like the audio equivalent of shredded paper. If you could get all the strips and tape them all back together again, you could get the original document.
Well, you're so right. And what I've always said about this is as if somebody handed me a plate of chop suey, and I reconstructed the whole onion, and I reconstructed the chicken, and then I got it to fly again.
Well, how do you know that you got all of these various parts in the correct chronological order? How do you know that you got the comment of Party A being connected to Party B and making a complete conversation as it actually happened?
Well, that's very good. I got to know the voices, and the key voices were Chuck Sarles up in the tower. It was the man in the pilot's room in Georgia Air Force Base. It was Major Strubel at Los Angeles Air Defense Sector and Lieutenant Fitz who was with him. So when Lieutenant Fitz or Major Strubel were talking to Chuck Sarles or anybody else, it was clear who they were. And if they began on a specific thematic conversation, I waited for the rest of it. They said, well, we're looking for click, buzz, boom. Then I found somewhere else on another row, we're looking for the information about. I just put it together. But even once I did that, I took a little dramatic license in tightening this all up, because when people talk on a phone, they're not on a radio program, get rid of the pauses, tighten it up, make it more dramatic, cut from one conversation to the other as if it's a dramatic program. So while I added nothing except narration explaining it, I didn't put any spin on it, I didn't change the meaning of it, but the event took place with several things happening. At first was Chuck Sarles spotting it, then going to the Western Air Defense Command, then discussing scrambling planes, then needing permission at the 28th Air Division at Hamilton Air Force Base, then needing the permission of Captain Ballant back at Edwards, then having to get him up. Then they wouldn't use the planes at Edwards. They had nuclear rockets on it. They had to use a cool plane, not a hot bird, and they'd go to Georgia Air Force Base. So it all followed in a logical progression until the plane that we hear on this tape was right under a UFO. Luminous object on the right, luminous object under the left. Well, he's rising, and I'm rising. He's at 40,000 feet, and you hear all this stuff, and it makes for pretty interesting and dramatic listening.
Do you know, Sam, if there have been any other tapes of this kind that have come to light regarding the scrambling of U.S. Air Force jets from the control tower?
I would say none that I know of, but this is certainly an object lesson in military interfacing with non-terrestrial craft piloted by possibly non-terrestrial beings.
So it's kind of a one-of-a-kind.
So one of a kind at the moment. I mean, there'll be a day that will come when we'll have a spontaneous landing somewhere and the whole thing will be over. And then all the governments of the world will come to us up in Ottawa for you and down in D.C. for me and somewhere else in Paris or London. And they'll say, we've got these great pictures and we've got all this stuff. So we're going to say, you're too late, fellas. I'm sorry. It's all over. We've got Crito here from Planet Ing, and we don't need you.
Yeah, and people like John and I will be out at work. Sam, we need
hey,
to take a break here.
Hey, you won't be out of work. You'll be leading the parade. You guys are doing a great job.
Yeah, thank you. We're talking with Sam Sherman, who has put together a remarkable documentary, The Edwards Air Force Base Encounter. We'll be talking more with Sam in just a few moments here on Strange Days, indeed, on News Talk Radio CFRB 1010. Strange Days, indeed. John Karas, and over there, Errol Bruce Knapp.
And our guest tonight is producer Sam Sherman on the line from New York. Sam, this documentary that you put together,
Can you play us a clip of...
Absolutely. This all began approximately 12 or 12:30 the night of October 7th, 1965.
Right.
And the tower operator or air traffic controller, that's Chuck Sorrels, saw these objects coming over secure airspace, luminous objects flashing red and white and other colors, and they came down low over the runway. And when that happened, he called the Air Defense Command. Major Struble at the Western Air Defense Command then said, put the recording on, and we hear that also. And he then had this done. Now, what this meant is all voice transmissions in and out of Edwards Air Force Base went onto the extra track on those radar tapes that were playing all the time.
Okay.
I'm going to begin with a little montage of some of the sightings that were seen and how they reacted to it. So we'll just begin right now.
Okay.
We heard, of course, were in the various control towers from
Paris. Well, let me actually qualify what this all was.
Okay.
They recorded over a five-hour period from at least eight positions, so that indicated 40 hours of material at least was recorded, but what they declassified was this chopped-up version that made no sense that was recorded, to be used as a disinformation ploy, chopped up to minimize the event, so it was not obvious what this was, and nobody expected some nut like me to spend 8 months putting this whole thing back together and cleaning it up.
Scrambled release, in fact.
Well, yeah, it was Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the lunar astronaut, who told me he was at Edwards that night, and when he heard the tape, I explained to him how they were all chopped up. He said, well, that was scrambled release. It was released, but meant to be obscure as to what the meaning was.
It's kind of like the audio equivalent of shredded paper. If you could get all the strips and tape them all back together again, you could get the original document.
Well, you're so right. And what I've always said about this is if somebody handed me a plate of chop suey and I reconstructed the whole onion and I reconstructed the chicken and then I got it to fly again.
Well, how do you know that you got all of these various parts in the correct chronological order? How do you know that you got the comment of Party A being connected to Party B and making a complete conversation as it actually happened?
Well, that's very good. I got to know the voices, and the key voices were Chuck Sorrels up in the tower. It was the man in the pilot's room in George Air Force Base. It was Major Struble at Los Angeles Air Defense Sector and Lieutenant Fitz who was with him. So when Lieutenant Fitz or Major Struble were talking to Chuck Sorrels or anybody else, it was clear who they were. And if they began on a specific thematic conversation, I waited for the rest of it. They said, well, we're looking for click, buzz, boom. Then I found somewhere else on another roll, we're looking for the information about. I just put it together. But even once I did that, I took a little dramatic license in tightening this all up, because when people talk on a phone, they're not on a radio program, get rid of the pauses, tighten it up, make it more dramatic, cut from one conversation to the other as if it's a dramatic program. So while I added nothing except narration explaining it, I didn't put any spin on it, I didn't change the meaning of it, but the event took place with several things happening. At first was Chuck Saul spotting it, then going to the Western Air Defense Command, then discussing scrambling planes, then needing permission at the 28th Air Division at Hamilton Air Force Base, then needing the permission of Captain Ballant back at Edwards, then having to get him up, then they wouldn't use the planes at Edwards. They had nuclear rockets on it. They had to use a cool plane, not a hot bird, and they go to Georgia Air Force Base. So it all followed in a logical progression until the plane that we hear on this tape was right under a UFO. Luminous object on the right, luminous object under the left. Well, he's rising, I'm rising, he's at 40,000 feet, and you hear all this stuff, and it makes for pretty interesting and dramatic listening.
Do you know, Sam, if there have been any other tapes of this kind that have come to light regarding the scrambling of U.S. Air Force jets from the control tower?
I would say none that I know of, but this is certainly an object lesson in military interfacing with non-terrestrial craft piloted by possibly non-terrestrial beings.
So it's kind of a one-of-a-kind.
It's a one-of-a-kind at the moment. There'll be a day that will come when we'll have a spontaneous landing somewhere and the whole thing will be over, and then all the governments of the world will come to us up in Ottawa for you and down in D.C. for me and somewhere else in Paris or London, and they'll say, we've got these great pictures and we've got all this stuff. And we're going to say, you're too late, fellas. I'm sorry. It's all over. We've got Crito here from Planet Ing, and we don't need you.
Yeah, and people like John and I will be out at work. Sam, we need to take a break here.
Hey, you won't be out of work. You'll be leading the parade. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. We're talking with Sam Sherman, who has put together a remarkable documentary, The Edwards Air Force Base Encounter.
We'll be talking more with Sam in just a few moments here on Strange Days, indeed,
on News Talk Radio CFRB
1010.
Oh, fall is in the air, and a chill, and a slight frisson down my spine as we talk to Sam Sherman.
Sam, I'm just thinking about the term UFO. I think that term had been in use within the Air Force for some time prior to even the Roswell incident in 47. I think back to the Second World War and possibly before, as the war in the skies became more and more of a prevalent reality. New technologies were emerging, of course, all the time, so anything in the sky that couldn't be identified was classified as an unidentified flying object until we do get to identify it.
I don't know where they began using that. I know on this tape and on the reports I've got the connect to the tape, they're always talking about UFOBs, so I guess that's another way of saying UFO, unidentified flying object, UFOBs. They keep discussing that. But it seemed to me at some point, if the expression ever meant anything in the air that was unidentified, it seemed to have changed after the Roswell era to mean an unknown craft, obviously from another planet, some other location, not from this Earth, something they couldn't identify rather easily, and it's had that meaning, and since that time they've had a lot of other kind of euphemisms for the expression, like anomalous aerial objects and anomalous aerial vehicles. I mean, it's very interesting. I wrote hundreds of FOIA requests, and they got a lot of people mad at me at a lot of agencies, tons of things I requested. Some scientific government agency wrote back to me, and they didn't talk about anomalous aerial objects, but they called them unknown aerial vehicles. The fact that they wrote back with another expression, I thought spoke volumes.
Even that it was referred to as a vehicle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Sam, do you have another clip lined up there?
Major Struble of the Los Angeles Air Defense Sector interviewing Captain Darrell Clark, who was one of the alert pilots at Edwards Air Force Base.
This on the evening of October 7th, 1965.
That is correct. And Captain Clark was observing this at the base through binoculars, and as such he went on the radio or phone or wherever he did and talked to Major Struble, who was conducting this investigation. And it's really very interesting. I think it's an incredible story, and it's funny. Nobody has ever attempted to debunk this tape. I've sent it to government. It's all over the place. It's back in the Department of Defense and the Air Force. And if you check my name at the Department of Defense, they say, oh, he's the fellow that produced that documentary on Edwards. It's really great. And these people within the system love it, because we don't criticize military. They're there to defend people. NORAD is doing a great job for Canada and the United States, and they appreciate some forthrightness where there's so much deception going on, and we're just presenting it for what it is. We'll pick it right up right here.
We heard the reference to seven objects in there?
Yeah, there are 12 altogether that were all over, and some of them were in triangle formations, and they called it an inverted V in the report, and one other one seemed to be pushing a cloud. I mean, it's very interesting what was going on.
Yeah, it sounds really strange, and it only helps to confirm that there's something going on out there, but Mr. Jones doesn't know what it is.
That's right.
We'll be back in a moment right here on Strange Days Indeed with John Karras
and Earl Bruce Knapp
on News Talk Radio, CFRB 1010. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We live in strange days.
Indeed.
And we've lived in strange days indeed for many a long while, it seems to me.
Going back tonight, looking at 1965.
And Edwards Air Force Base, and on the line with us from New York City, the producer of an audio documentary that you can get your hands on called The Edwards Air Force Base Encounter.
You know, listening to that last clip, Sam, I'm astonished at what it was you must have had to have gone through to edit all that tape together. I mean, there's such a jumble of sounds there to begin with. It must have driven you crazy.
Well, no. I'm a skilled editor. I started as an audio editor and a film editor, and I've done the endless audio work and motion picture work. And
oh, so it was nothing.
To me, it was the kind of work I'm used to being involved with.
Yeah, but so 6 hours of original tape? Wow, to cut it down like that.
Well, I would disappear into my studio over the weekend. My family wouldn't see me. What are you doing? And there's noise and stop and start. And what is all that stuff going on? I said, when I'm done, I get it a little further on, you'll be amazed at what it is. And I continued. I'd be up all night Saturday night. I'd be starting at maybe 10 o'clock, and I'd be good till 6 in the morning. Then I'd sleep Sunday morning and start again.
Mm-hmm. So, Sam, what was the outcome of this flap? How was it left?
Well, the outcome of the flap is that the craft did go off base. A lot of civilians in the area saw these objects. They complained to their local political people, and everybody came back and complained to Edwards Air Force Base, and there was some kind of an investigation, and there must have been something covered in the papers. I haven't gotten that material yet. But on the uncut tapes, I didn't put it in this, Major Struble is heard to say, spray some ragweed stuff around, so on and so forth. And I asked Chuck Sarles, I said, did they have a problem with hay fever in the area and allergens? Why are they spraying ragweed stuff around? And he said, no, that had nothing to do with the allergy. It had to do with newspapers that they called rags, and it was a code name. Ragweed stuff means give them disinformation, give them a cover story. So that's what was done on this event. A lot of double talk was given to the press and to the public. And
what was the official story?
The official story was unknown lights. They didn't know what they were, and you know, they couldn't be sure of the whole thing. They just sort of put these tapes together the way they were, and anybody wanted to review them, it was unclear what the story was. And of course, nobody was talking to Chuck Sorrels, who was then still in the military. He wasn't about to open up the way he did, or some of the other people I've talked to, and indicate this all happened, because they'd say, well, we have a nice guardhouse up here, Chuck. You don't want to visit that for the rest of your career. So obviously he wasn't talking about it at the time.
So they spoke to you after they had retired?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. That's correct. And they were none of them under any secrecy oaths or anything. This wasn't a capture of any alien bodies or anything. It was just, you know, in the normal course of events. But Chuck told me he had many other UFO sightings over there. And in the researching for the tape, I went up to the area myself. I had a tour of Edwards Air Force Base officially in the daytime, and I made it my business to come back there at night and see what was happening at night and drive out into the desert and look around, and I did see odd lights in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I did see some very strange things, and then I came back with a film crew, and we did film some of this stuff. So I can only say to you, the Antelope Valley in California, Palmdale, Lancaster, an hour and a half north of Los Angeles, is loaded with UFOs, UFO history. It's probably one of the most incredible hot spots on the North American continent.
Victor's joined us on the line, Sam. Good evening, Victor. Welcome to CFRB 1010.
Good evening, Errol.
You have a comment or a question for Sam?
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate Sam on his fine work. I can truly identify with what he's been through, because I've been to that area of the country myself, not quite as far west as Edwards, but near Rachel, Nevada, and having camped out over several nights outside of Area 51, I can identify with some of the very, very strange lights that he may have seen out by Edwards. But I guess the comment that I have to make is, or question is, what lengths are we going to have to go to in order to achieve any kind of disclosure? I mean, we can keep on putting out tapes like this and solid information. To what lengths do we have to go to impress upon people that there's something very, very odd going on in the skies above us, that they're busier than we'd ever want to believe?
Well, I think that what you're saying is very intelligently presented. The amount of extraterrestrial craft overflying this planet at any given year is incredible. The number of sightings, just as reported on this program by Errol and John, mm-hmm. did a great job at the beginning of the show. These are not people making these things up, just as you saw them in Rachel, Nevada, and I've seen them many other times. The governments of the world are very frightened because they know what this means. We don't. And we're going to have to assume that the whole world is going to have to grow up. And that is the day that this is told to us, or aliens land, or whatever they're going to do. We just better be big boys and prepare ourselves for it. And the rest of them that can't believe it, yeah, there'll be a few nervous breakdowns. There'll be a few camps that they're going to want to put these people in who are flipping out. But the ufologists and the people right. studying this will be the ones who will retain our sanity and help the world get through it.
Do you think that the reason that disclosure is being suppressed in the way it is there one reason why, one maybe dastardly or one unreasonable aspect as to why the government may not be disclosing it? Is there something out there that they know that if they do disclose, that it'll just shake up things way, way beyond our ability to perceive it? Or do you think they're just keeping the lid on this because they just can't stand the truth?
No, I think it's over technology. Who has it, who uses it, who gets out on top, what countries, what individual industrial people.
Victor, thank you for your call.
Okay, we'll talk to you again.
Thank you. Good night. Sam, we need to take another break here, and we'll come back and wrap it up with you. You're listening to Strange Days Indeed on News Talk Radio, CFRB 1010. Strange Days Indeed with John Karras
and Errol Bruce Knapp.
And on the phone for the final couple of moments here, our guest tonight, Sam Sherman, the producer of the Edwards Air Force Base encounter. I'm sure, Sam, that there's a lot of value in being able to listen to the full hour-long program, because with the intros and extros and the narration, setting up all of these clips, I'm sure you can become quite involved in the interesting and exciting and curiosity-arousing moments of that evening last in October 65.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people have listened to it, including military people, have told me, yeah, I listened to it. I said, how many times did you hear it? Oh, they said 2 times, 5 times, 12 times.
They've that compelling.
They've given parties and had their friends there and listened to it. It's incredible.
Anyone wanting to obtain this, of course, can do so by mail, U.S. $16.95 to Independent International, Box 565, Old Bridge, New Jersey, 08857, or on the web as well, www.edwardsufo.com. U.S. $16.95 to Independent International, Box 565, Old Bridge, New Jersey, 08857, or on the web as well, www.edwardsufo.com.
Yes, thank you very much for mentioning it. I think that what I'm doing here with is what you're doing with your show is helping with a part of public information and education and intelligently presenting it, as you gentlemen do very nicely on your program. And what happens is people learn, and they're not going to be so afraid of this whole thing.
I think that the education process is very, very important, and I wish the media wouldn't sit back and snark a lot, as a lot of the Toronto media does, in, you know, as well as everywhere else. Sam, thank you very much indeed for the clips and for your amazing work over the last few years. You're in the throes of putting together a documentary and a book, right?
That's correct.
Well, we'll like to hear more about the development of those, as that is an ongoing project.
Yes, it is. The documentary on this event and the book on the project, plus Beyond This Earth, which I'm still working on.
Oh, right, the feature film that started all of this.
That's the longer project, and that's got dozens of amazing things, dozens of Edwards events. You think this is amazing? We've got unbelievable things in that.
Sam,
and see them too.
We'll keep in touch with you and note your progress with interest over the next whiles. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Sheldon. Continue your good work on the air.
And you with your research and your documentary, Sam. Good night.
Thanks much.
When we come back, we'll have some more discussion about UFO phenomena, and you can, of course, join us here. We'd welcome your conversation. You can reach us at 872-1010, or long distance, you can reach us at 1-800-561-CFRB. Local on a cell phone, dial Star Talk. You're living in strange days, indeed. On News Talk Radio, CFRB 1010.